We get to read further from the scriptures about Christ and Him crucified. As you find it in Luke 23, it's the same passage referred to by the elder of service. Luke 23, we'll pick it up at verse 33 to the end of the chapter. Luke 23, beginning at verse 33. Hear the account of Christ and Him crucified. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they, the soldiers and people, crucified Him, Jesus, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, "He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar and saying, "If You be the King of the Jews, save Yourself." And a superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on Him, saying, "If Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do not you fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily, I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and it was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost, or He breathed His last. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all His acquaintance and the women that followed Him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So today we're here to think about Christ and Him crucified. I refer you to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, I resolved not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in Galatians 6:14 we read Paul saying, "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world." So the theme of the sermon this morning is preaching Christ crucified. In connection with that, I also like to turn your attention to the Belgian Confession Article 21, just as a great statement about the value and wonder of the cross. And you can find it with me on the back of the Psalter, page 14. It's a beautiful article to read. It's what we confess about Christ and His death. Let's read it together. Article 21, here we read, it's on the satisfaction of Christ, our only high priest for us. And this is what we confess as Christian church. We believe that Jesus Christ is ordained with an oath to be an everlasting high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that He has presented Himself in our behalf before the Father to appease His wrath by His full satisfaction, by offering Himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out His precious blood to purge away our sins, as the prophets had foretold. For it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and numbered with the transgressors, and condemned by Pontius Pilate as a malefactor, though he had first declared him innocent. Therefore he restored that which he took not away, and suffered the just for the unjust, as well in his body as in his soul, feeling the terrible punishment which our sins had merited, insomuch that his sweat became like 2 drops of blood falling on the ground. He called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And has suffered all this for the remission of our sins. Wherefore we justly say with the Apostle Paul that we know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We count all things but loss and dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. Neither is it necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice once offered by which believers are made perfect forever. This is also the reason why he is called by the angel of God Jesus, that is to say, Savior, because he should save his people from their sins. On this special Good Friday holiday, we are privileged, dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come together for this extra service in thanksgiving for Christ and him crucified. In a lot of ways, it can seem rather strange, don't you think, to call this day, when we remember Christ's horrific death on the cross, to call it Good Friday. What makes it good? Well, it is the gospel tidings with Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. That makes it all so very good and wonderful. You see, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay the punishment for sin in the sinner's place and to offer up to God a perfect, sinless sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. Through Christ and him crucified, trusting and following after him, our sins are washed away, and we may be received as God's children and become heirs of eternal life. That's the bottom line, all-time gospel message of the Christian church throughout the ages. And it needs to be the gospel message till the last day. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, I resolved not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And what does he say in Galatians 6, 14? But God forbid that I should glory or boast save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. So the sermon today for this Good Friday service is Preaching Christ. This was the Apostle Paul's passion, as well for all the disciples, and it needs to be our focus and witness in our times still today. There is no better and more urgent and positive and truly powerful news to declare than Jesus Christ and him crucified. While the work of Christ is so magnificent and multifaceted, as one has well said, so that it can never be captured in a single word or summarized in a single formula, still this phrase, Christ and him crucified, tells the sum and substance of the Savior of sinners for us. So with God's help, I want now to try to unpack this summary statement and what it means to preach Christ crucified in 5 gospel points. I'll just give you the points, one word points. We'll talk about the mandate of this, the misery that this reaches out to, the message, the medicine, and the mission with Christ and him crucified. Notice for one that preaching Christ crucified is the mandate of the Christian church and of gospel preachers. The word mandate means it's the responsibility given to us. It's the charge commissioned. It's the command ordered by the Lord for his church and for his preachers. Paul had a mandate from the Lord to be a missionary, preacher, and teacher, ever testifying to all about Christ and Him crucified. When a person is given a responsibility and he or she doesn't do it and does something else instead, that's very wrong, isn't it? And surely it's sin, and it's a great shame when the church today no longer preaches and emphasizes Christ and Him crucified. The phrase Christ and Him crucified, or the phrase about glorying in the cross of Jesus, means being all intent on the heart of the gospel message, really. That message about how Jesus suffered and died on the cross as the God-given substitute for sinners like us to make full reconciliation through His shed blood to save us from our sins and sinfulness. Paul says, God forbid that I not glory in this great matter, Christ and Him crucified. He took his mandate seriously. All through church history, including in Paul's day, also in the church of Corinth and in the church of Galatia, there were false teachers who were somehow minimizing and changing and corrupting the precious gospel truth about the person and work of Christ Jesus as the one and only Savior of sinners. Paul, in the face of that reality, stressed this mandate and the church's solemn responsibility always to stay with the simple gospel of Jesus Christ as proclaimed to us in all the Word of God. It's a gospel not dependent on any contribution from ourselves at any time, but rather a perfect and free gospel of God triune for undeserving sinners, proclaiming salvation like us, all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Well, we live in times today too, don't we? Where again and again this one all-time gospel is being threatened and is being challenged. It's being corrupted in all kinds of ways. One present evil way that's gaining more ground is promoting the idea that there are many roads to heaven and not just the one Christian gospel way. The Bible very clearly says, Isaiah 45:22, you can look it up. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and you will be saved. For I am God, and there's none else. There's none else. Another present evil that is a great threat against the gospel is a preaching of the gospel that somehow includes something of ourselves as a basis for our justification before God. Something of our own works, of our own goodness. How we must resist that, because it's a false teaching. And another very common perversion of the gospel message in our times is the presentation of Jesus mostly just as a good example of such love towards others for us, while discounting the gospel message of Him come to seek and to save sinners through His once-for-all offering. Another real evil today is promoting the idea that just following rituals and some religious activities is good enough. That'll save you. As long as you get baptized, as long as you go to church or to mass, as long as you do a few rituals, you're okay. Oh, how sadly pervasive is this false teaching in our times. However, with the Apostle Paul, we must maintain the mandate of preaching Christ and Him crucified as the whole of our salvation, being all found in Him and belonging to Him in true faith. God forbid, says Paul, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul was so convicted, that he would be most unfaithful and sinful in not preaching Christ and Him crucified as the sum and substance of the gospel and the great need for Him for each one of us in our lives. Well, so we need to do today as well. This is our mandate as Christian church, also here in Calgary, in the 21st century. Preach the word. Preach Christ crucified. That's our calling. And today we delight in lifting Him high, preaching Christ, the crucified Savior hanging on the cross and his sin-atoning blood dripping from his head, his hands, his feet, his back, and his side, all to save sinners like us, you and me, whoever repents and believes on him. See Jesus Christ nailed on that cursed tree there on Calvary's hill, the place of a skull, literally. And know and understand that he, Jesus Christ, and him crucified is the only God-sent, God-anointed, God-approved Savior of sinners in this fallen, perishing world. Saying that brings me to our next point about the preaching of Christ crucified. It's not just the mandate we have, but think of the misery of sin and of us sinners left to ourselves. How we should be compelled to preach and to testify of Christ and him crucified, seeing this world so corrupted and confused by sin and Satan and hardened and arrogant in evil ways. What a sinful, shameful, painful, miserable, guilty, wicked, vile world we live in. Who will deny this when honest? And truly preaching Christ crucified will bring home this truth. What sinners we are of ourselves. Think of the horrible evils in our world again brought forward even this past week. Not just in Brussels, but what about in the abortion clinics and in the assisted suicide rooms and in the Ottawa Parliament buildings and in the White House and in the ISIS headquarters and in the Kremlin and you name it. What about in our own hearts and lives as well? We live in a world of blatant, defiant, rampant, blind, willful transgression of all God's Ten Commandments. And it is evident, isn't it, in all our lives by nature, without exception. As Paul also says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not a person in church, also here now, and anywhere in the city and world, who isn't a sinner by nature, and therefore full of sin and headed to eternal condemnation and punishment in hell for sin, if left to ourselves. That's the gospel truth. It doesn't change. This is a solemn, serious reality which the Bible and world history, including each of our own lives, make so clear over and over again. Never can any one of us on our own ever fix our own guilt and corruption problem either. We deceive ourselves to think that we can make ourselves somehow acceptable before the perfectly righteous, all-knowing, infinitely holy, triune God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And no one of us can make clean what is unclean before God and our neighbor. No, not one. You and I and all mankind need a God-acceptable and God-equipped and God-almighty Savior to save us from our sins. We need a Savior that can rightly and eternally present sinners like us as perfectly holy and sinless before God, and one who will totally also pay and suffer the righteous everlasting punishment for sin we each deserve for our fall and daily rebellion against God, our Creator. And where can such a Savior be found? Where? Except with Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, sent from the Father in the fullness of time. Jesus Christ is that promised seed of the woman, pledged by God to save sinners, even the day Adam and Eve fell into sin. And this world was plunged under the righteous curse and judgment of God. Jesus is that Savior, foretold in Isaiah 53. He is the great son of David, prophesied. He is that one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, who is in one person, both very God and true righteous man. And he has come to serve as mediator and savior of sinners for us. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh to seek and to save sinners. And except God save us, we will not be saved. He is the one who gave his life as a ransom for many. And he is the one in whom is found our salvation. He alone. Preaching Christ is a matter of mandate for God's church and people. And isn't it something we should so be compelled to preach, considering the misery of fallen mankind on our own? All human and self-devised saviors, as proposed by fallen mankind, fall short of the mark. How we need to be convinced of this. Think of the hopeless, ongoing misery and guilt promoted when people follow false religions like Buddhism or Mohammedism or Judaism or Roman Catholicism or secularism, humanism, atheism, materialism, hedonism, paganism, environmentalism, and all the isms you can mention that man has come up with. Surely it can be demonstrated by historical facts and research that where Christ crucified and his gospel preached and clearly proclaimed and believed, there always it brings such man-humbling, heart-renewing, life-transforming, culture-reforming benefits and blessings for soul and body, for community, church, and country. The only remedy from the evils and delusions of all jihadism is Jesus Christ and him crucified. As Paul himself discovered, being a former murderous, wild Jewish zealot against Christians, how he was changed, meeting Christ and him crucified. The one and only escape from the fall and folly and futility of our sins and sinfulness and eternal doom in consequence thereof left to ourselves is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and trusting and believing in him. To explain this further, we move to our third point about preaching Christ crucified, and that is the point about the message and marvel of the cross of Jesus. What is it that makes Jesus as crucified Savior the one and only hope of salvation for sinners like us? How would you answer that question? If you were asked that question, what makes Jesus the one and only hope for us? Would you answer to Jesus is the only Savior because he comes as the anointed of God, approved of God, equipped of God, sinless Savior? And he came as the one who never once transgressed God's perfect laws, not in a single wrong thought, word, or deed. This means he can come with a perfect sacrifice, and he was willing to come to give his life to save sinners like us. And God can approve his salvation work because it's without a stain of a single sin. And then there's this matter of paying the full punishment for all the sins we have committed and do commit. That punishment we all deserve for our sins. Who's going to pay that? Well, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus suffered and endured in the sinner's place no less than the full, righteous, holy wrath of God against sin. He endured it all. Jesus Christ, he voluntarily, willingly, even gladly suffered and endured in perfect love before God his Father and for sinners like us the full punishment for sin that we deserve. He suffered it as it was poured out upon him on the cross of Calvary. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, trusting that God his Father would so grant his blessing on his salvation work on behalf of sinners and save his people from their sins through his finished work on their behalf. Oh, the infinity of the cost to pay for our sins. Only Jesus could bear it. Jesus bore, I say again, the equivalent of God's eternal wrath for sin. He bore that in his people's stead. And you know why? You know how he could do that? Because he was not only man, he was also God. He suffered it only in his human nature, but he was sustained, supported by his divine nature in a mysterious way we cannot even explain, but that enabled him to bear that full wrath of God and not be overcome, to bear it perfectly and lovingly till the last drop. And now, through his shed blood then, with Jesus paying the wages of sin, even to the death of the cross, now there's perfect and free forgiveness of sin through Christ's once for all sacrifice for whoever trusts in him. This complete forgiveness for all our sins and his perfect righteousness before God from Christ on sinners' behalf is freely granted to all who repent of sin and trust and follow Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. So the scriptures read, for instance, in Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And again, Romans 8, verse 1, we read similarly, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Oh, the gospel message is, you see, that in and through Christ and him crucified, as many as repent of sin and trust and obey him, we're cleared of our sins and we're justified by grace through Christ, completely reconciled with God, and we may be led in the way of sanctification by God's Spirit and Word, and we may be promised glorification in the new heavens and earth, and we may be truly God's restored, adopted children here and forevermore. This good news, you see, these glad tidings of great joy is only found for us in and through Christ and him crucified and risen again. As Christian Church today, we come together, don't we, especially to commemorate and to celebrate this most precious and all-powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. His death on Calvary's hill, long ago now, was not a tragedy, but a triumph from God Almighty and all merciful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As in Adam, the first human God made, created, he served as representative of the whole human race. We all fell into sin in him. So now through Christ Jesus, the second Adam, and his once for all sacrifice on behalf of sinners, there is complete redemption from all sin and eternal reconciliation with God for whoever trusts in him, that second Adam, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer. So let me ask, is your hope and trust in this Savior to today? For God's people, Jesus Christ becomes everything. And the unsearchable riches of salvation in and through him becomes more precious than all the world can offer us. Do you so know Christ and confess him too? We preach Christ and him crucified that all may be drawn to him. His people coming to him over and over again, and those still unsaved coming for a first time, perhaps even here among us today. And it's so true, as we read in the Belgic Confession, Article 21, neither is it necessary to seek or to invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice once offered, by which believers are perfect forever, are made perfect forever. This is also the reason why he was called by an angel of God, Jesus, that is to say, Savior, because he saves his people from their sins. Oh, this Good Friday, it's our privilege once again to preach Christ crucified. And we have thought so far about the mandate for this preaching and the misery from sin calling for this preaching and the message of Christ crucified, the gracious, glorious gospel message. Think next of the medicine, the rich, the, The full supply of medicine the gospel proclaims and provides for all who have ears to hear. I mean, what can bring peace and joy and hope and promote love and care and countless blessings and for good in this life already? And then provide also so much comfort in the face of sickness and death, and give so great hope in anticipation for the world to come. What can give us that all as the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified? What brings positivity and productivity and honesty and faithfulness and integrity and relief from anxiety like the gospel of Jesus Christ, come what may? You know, for the natural man, left to his sinful self before God and others, no matter what other religion he or she follows, there's no true peace, no real joy, no actual comfort, no lasting hope, only empty delusion, and only vanity of vanities. But trusting and following the gospel of Jesus Christ brings real hope and sure and everlasting deliverance from guilt and from the bondage of sin and from the punishment of sin. And you know what? It gives such peace of conscience and such hearty joy and such fullness of life and abundance of life and eternal life. Yes, this is the gospel truth for all who have ears to hear. And here, listen to what we read in Jeremiah 30 verse 13 and Jeremiah 46 verse 11, spoken by God to his sinful, wayward covenant people of long ago. Thus saith the Lord, we read there, your bruise is incurable. Your wound is grievous. There's none to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. In vain shall you use many medicines, for you shall not be cured. And what the Lord here is underlining and saying is that, yes, left to ourselves, there just is no hope, no help to be found. No matter who you go to, no matter where you go, there's no help apart from Christ crucified and risen again as your Savior and Lord. There's no other remedy for all our maladies in sin but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is what all who repent of sin and believe in Him also come to find out. Wonderfully so. And to bring this out more, let me quote here just a little of what I read this week from Reformer John Calvin, what he wrote in the preface to the first translation of the Bible in French, way back in the 1500s. He wrote, among so much else, in his preface, quote, "Whatever goodness our mind may conceive or our heart's desire is found in Jesus Christ. He humbled himself in order to exalt us. He became a slave in order to set us free. He became poor in order to make us rich. He was sold in order to redeem us. He was made captive in order to deliver us. He was condemned in order to absolve us. He was cursed that we might be blessed. He became a sin offering that we might be justified. He was marred that we might become whole. He died to give us life. So much so that through Him, severity is made sweet. Wrath is appeased. Darkness made light. Unrighteousness made righteous. Weakness made strong. Discomfort comforted. Sin pardoned. Fears allayed. Debts cleared. Toils relieved. Sadness gladdened. Troubles eased. Disorder ordered. Division overcome. Rebellion crushed. Snares exposed. Assaults assailed. Contention contested. Confusion confounded. Defiance defied. Vengeance avenged." And I love this. "Damnation damned. Hell hobbled. Death defeated. And mortality made immortal. In short, mercy has triumphed over misery through Christ and Him crucified, and goodness over adversity. Indeed, in Christ and Him crucified, goes on Calvin, is enclosed all the wisdom which men can and must acquire in this life. To it, no angel, no man, and no creature, living or dead, can add, nor can anything be taken away. Here is the goal at which our understanding stops. Here there must be nothing of our own, no other doctrine added or accepted. Whoever ventures to teach one syllable more than or above what the gospel teaches must stand accursed in the sight of God and His church. This, in sum, is what we must seek in Scripture. Truly to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the boundless riches which are found in Him and which are offered to us by God the Father through Him and made known to us by the Holy Spirit by Him. May the Lord of light by His Holy Spirit, writes Calvin, be pleased through this His holy saving gospel to instruct the ignorant, to strengthen the weak, to illumine the blind, to cause His truth to prevail among all peoples and nations, so that the whole world may know the one God, the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, the one faith, and the one gospel. So wrote Calvin. Almost 500 years ago now. And how true this still remains. The gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, dear congregation, is the only medicine for fallen, sinful, depraved sinners in this world and for poor and needy believers in this world. So why preach Christ crucified as the only Savior of sinners we must come to know and trust and follow and serve? Well, for all the reasons mentioned so far. And then one more point yet. It's by this mission which God gives His church, this mission of preaching Christ crucified, that you know what? The Lord is pleased to build up His church and to build up His people and to save more sinners while it's yet the day of grace. It's as we preach Christ and Him crucified that God will add to His church. So Jesus Himself says in John 12:32, speaking of His crucifixion about to happen, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto Me. It's through preaching Christ and Him crucified that sinners are saved and God's people sanctified. Paul also says that in Galatians 6, verse 14, that not only by Christ and Him crucified are we saved, but also sanctified. For he says, by Christ and Him crucified, the world was crucified to Him and He to the world. Meaning that the more he came to see Christ in all His love and full salvation for such an undeserving sinner like himself, the more he saw all treasure and worth in Him. And all the treasures and worth of this world faded away to nothing compared to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Sin and the pleasures and treasures of this world lose their power and their attraction the more we are focused on Christ and feeding on Him, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Oh, are you today glorying in Christ and Him crucified as the one and only Savior and Lord? Again, I say, if anyone among us is not yet saved, will you not this day come to Jesus for forgiveness of all your sins and for that plenteous redemption through Christ's shed blood on sinners' behalf through His once-for-all sacrifice on Golgotha? Jesus came to be the sinner's Savior. And this is the gospel message. While the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you know, today is Good Friday. On Sunday, we especially remember Jesus' resurrection. We do every Sunday, but this Sunday is Easter Sunday. And we remember the fact that Jesus arose from the dead as He said He would, showing also full approval of Christ's once-for-all sacrifice on Golgotha, on sinners' behalf. Oh, may many more sinners come to Jesus as the church is faithful to her mission, proclaiming Him. You won't stay hardened against Him, will you, anyone among us? There's no hope for you apart from Christ and Him crucified as your Savior and Lord. And the dear Savior calls even now, sincerely and most lovingly and urgently, to come to Him and to make no delay. To come to Him with your sins and sinfulness, with all your needs. And He will be your Savior God in every way. You know, do we glory in Christ and Him crucified? All of us will admit, if we're confessing Christians, we don't glory in Him as much as we should. I had to think about it, that it's because Christians in the past have gloried in Christ and Him crucified that today we have Good Friday. Good Friday is a Christian holiday. And it's because, how did that come about? Well, it's already for centuries, even before the year 1000, Good Friday was celebrated. But it's because Christians were glorying in Christ and Him crucified that we have this special commemoration of Him whom to know is life eternal. As we glory in Christ crucified, who knows how God may use us for good and bless us and make us a blessing. When we are faithful in glorying in Christ and Him crucified, proclaiming the unchanging gospel in all its fullness, then you know what? Not only is God glorified and the church blessed and God's people refreshed and strengthened, but then also, you know what? More sinners will be saved. For God promises His gospel word will not return to Him void. And the Lord will see the fruit of His work in the day of days, with all the elect being brought in according to His sovereign grace and merciful love and power. Preaching Christ crucified. This is what we must keep doing, and what we may keep doing, with great hope and real promise also for the future. For Christ and Him crucified, He is also the risen Savior, and all power belongs to Him in heaven and on earth. God's people may know the triumphs of the gospel in part already here and now. And who's to say how we will enjoy it in the world to come? Even so, ever looking to this Jesus and running the race, fleeing from sin, but following after Him and His word. Oh, a blessed Good Friday and a wonderful Easter weekend to each and all of you. In Jesus' name, amen.